الله أكبر الله أكبر.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al Arfaj.
In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to Him, Allah, the Cherisher and Sustainer of the whole universe. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are still in the journey of seeking the truth and knowing more of the beauty of Islam. Let's discover more about it. With me in the studio, Sheikh Abbas Adam, who would like to share with us more examples and more aspects dealing with the beauty and the truth concerning Islam. Welcome, Sheikh Abbas.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For having me here.
Jazakallah khair. Could you please share with us more examples concerning the beauty of Islam? Jazakallah khair.
Islam has given us this golden instrument. The instrument is da'wah. Mm-hmm. It is to spread the beauty and the message of Islam. And I remember reading from one of the sheikhs who said that one of the biggest and the best forms of da'wah mm-hmm. is by your action. By your actions. Mm-hmm. The action that you do, people will judge you whether they think you're good or bad. For example, a person is walking down the street and he sees something which may harm somebody, a stone or some rubbish in the middle of the pathway. It takes him not even a few seconds to pick it up, to put it to one side, or to kick it with his foot gently so it cannot make anybody trip up and hurt themselves and harm themselves. Mm-hmm. A simple action. But when a person sees this, they will think, oh, he is being considerate. Or let's take, for example, a person may go shopping to one of the various supermarkets. Mm-hmm. And when he finishes shopping, he takes his trolley to his vehicle, to his car, unloads his shopping, mm-hmm. and then he has the option of leaving it there, saying, oh, the workers will take it. Or he can take the trolley and go back and return from where he found it, or even if he didn't find it there, to the rightful position of this trolley.
Wonderful.
Simple. A simple action, but a person can see this person is being considerate. Even a non-Muslim. We don't have to even say to anybody that, oh, Islam teaches me this. But you see, they'll see the action mm-hmm. and they'll see the face. Mm-hmm. And then inshallah, the two will equate together. Ah, Muslim. Oh, he did this good action.
Great.
Ah, great. Islam, good. Inshallah, this is what we aim to do.
Beautiful. But in reference to the Prophet ﷺ greatly mentioned, beautifully mentioned, that إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَى عَلَى الطَّرِيقِ صَدَقَةً.
SubhanAllah, look at this. Look at
beautiful.
This. Beautiful. That it's a form of charity.
Mm-hmm. Just removing any harmful thing from the road, from the path of the people, it's a charity. It is a charity.
It costs you nothing. Only 1 or 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
1 or 2 seconds, and yet in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a great thing.
This shows us, brother, that Islam cares and concerns about the environment.
Yes.
Cleanliness.
About people, about the environment around you. Mm-hmm. It could be the sea, it could be the air. Yes, without doubt. We have great respect for the environment. If you remember, the Prophet ﷺ gave specific instructions that when they conquered the city of Mecca,
mm-hmm.
or whenever the Muslims conquer, go to a place where there are trees and plants, they're forbidden to cut down trees. So even before the Kyoto and the Kyoto summit about saving the atmosphere and not cutting down the Amazon rainforests, mm-hmm. subhanAllah, more than 1,000 years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us the way to protect the environment even if at that time we didn't know why, mm-hmm. but the Prophet showed us to respect even the tree.
Exactly. He said, don't cut off trees or palm trees, yes. or any fruitful tree.
SubhanAllah.
Beautiful. Wait, what are other aspects that we can share with our dear listeners?
The conduct that a person has. As we said, people are judged very quickly mm-hmm. by their appearance, by the kind of image they put across. For example, if I walk into a room and my face has a frown or a scowl, or I'm looking angry, and a person says, oh, maybe we don't want to approach this person, mm-hmm. he is maybe in a bad mood, or maybe he's unapproachable, he's that kind of person. Mm-hmm. But if the person greets another person with a smile on their face, see the difference that this would make.
What did the Prophet, tell us to do regarding smile?
SubhanAllah.
تَبَسُّمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ
جَزَاكَ خَيْرٌ جَزَاكَ خَيْرٌ. Yes, look at this. Greet your brother with a smiling face. A smiling face.
It's a charity. This is charitable.
SubhanAllah, this is charity. This is a form of charity. Look how Allah is making it easy for us to gain rewards. One is just by smiling at our brother.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
In a matter of even a second, a quick smile, a big smile on your face, and that's it. Mm-hmm. It costs nothing. Rather, it will also, no matter they had some harsh words before, he sees him the next time, he smiles, even he may hug him. Mm-hmm. But that small gesture, mm-hmm. but the impact of that is beyond our comprehension sometimes. Beautiful. And especially for the hereafter, we are gaining credit points, the hasanats, the rewards.
Great. By the way, brother, in terms of medicine and physiology, talking about the physiology of the body, they say that when a person smiles, it takes him 13 muscles.
Yes.
But when he frowns, it takes him, what do you think?
A lot more, believe, yes,
around
a lot more.
73 muscles.
Yes, maybe more. Maybe lower. And yes,
so
true.
You see how it's easy to smile and share yes. the smile, cheerful face with others. It gives you more comfort. And also it gives others that yes. Yes, comfort and relaxation.
Yes, without doubt. A person who's smiling, he's not going to smile for no reason. If he's sincere about his smile, then no matter what tensions he's got, stresses, he can, even if it's temporarily, put them to one side mm-hmm. and greet his brother. His brother sees him as being approachable, and they may talk about other things that will divert his mind away from stressful things.
I see.
Now, Allah.
This is the beauty of Islam.
This is the beauty.
A smile is a charity.
Smile is charity.
What a great deal.
Free deal. Freedom. You can't get a better deal than a free deal.
Great offer, huh?
Yes.
Now, we talked about a smile, sincere smile. We talked about removing harmful things as a charity. And then, how about the word itself? To be nice,
to have a nice word.
Soft,
yes.
Gentle.
That brings me memories of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that there were no occasions where he would go to a person with an angry face. We do not have a single hadith, and Allah knows best, where the Prophet went to a Sahaba and greeted him with an angry face. Maybe in some cases he became upset at something that happened, but his da'wah was always to greet his companions with smiling, cheerful face.
Great.
Making them feel comfortable with him.
Wonderful. Regarding the word,
yes.
Al-kalimatu tayyibah sadaqah. Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, good word is a charity. What do you think about it?
SubhanAllah.
What's your comment?
SubhanAllah. This good word, mm-hmm. a nice word to anybody. This will show, first and foremost, a person is respectful to the one in front of him. Islam teaches us to respect the one who is older than us, mm-hmm. and also, and we must never forget this, mm-hmm. even the one who is younger than us as well. There's a two-way thing. In fact, many students in schools, they feel they're neglected with this because sometimes you find the teachers don't do this. Islam teaches respect of two ways.
Beautiful, beautiful. We will discover more of these great treasures of Islam, these great, you know, beauties of Islam, inshallah, in other episodes of this program. In the end, I would like to thank you, Jazakallah khair. Oh, yeah. May Allah reward you highly, greatly for all your time you spend with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our dear listeners. May Allah bless us all. May Allah also accept our good deeds. Thanks for all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu Akbar, Allah.
Beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the beauty of Islam. Let's discover more about the beauties and the treasures of Islam. Sheikh Abbas, welcome back to the program.
JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Brother, let's share other aspects dealing with, you know, the topic or the title of this program, The Beauty of Islam.
If we remember in the last session, we talked about Islam, how it gives a person respect for their elders and their youngsters.
Wonder.
And this is from the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, that he who does not respect our elders and our youngsters is not from amongst us. This is the translation of the hadith. In today's society, what do we see around us? A breakdown of society, a breakdown of respect and morals and manners. Why? Because people have lost this respect. One of the saddest things that you find today is how people have lost respect for their parents. This really saddens me when you hear stories. You hear stories of a child who slapped their father or their mother, or they kicked their parents out of the house, or they put them in old people's nursing home because they don't want to have the trouble of looking after them. And you think, subhanallah al-azim, where is the respect? These are your parents who raised you. These are the parents who fed you. These are parents who nursed you when you were ill. Subhanallah, how could we do this to our parents? La, wallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has ordered us to be respectful. This is not a choice, because nowadays people choose to be respectful to this person or that person. And it's a choice with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to be respectful to our parents. If we refer to Al-Quran Al-Kareem in Surah Al-Ankabut, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعَلْعَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حسنا وإن جاهداك لتشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. If we give a rough translation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, we have enjoined upon you, made it binding on the humans, that they are dutiful to their parents. But if they strive to, or they try to attempt to make you worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then do not obey them in that. Do not obey them in that. Unto us is your final return, and we will inform you of what you used to do. The respect of the parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the rank of parents after the rank of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I remember one hadith where a person was walking around the Kaaba with his parents on his shoulders, and as he walked around and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked him in the meaning of, have I repaid my debt to them? Have I repaid my debt? And do you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replied to this person? He said, by Allah, you have not even repaid her a single moan, a single cry that came from her lips during childbirth. Allahu Akbar. Look at this. We will never be able to repay our parents that much. Why? Because this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised their status, for us to be dutiful to them. It is not by choice, but it is a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not obeying our parents, not respecting them, of course, obeying them in the halal, not in the haram.
Sure.
And respecting them, even if a person's parents are not Muslims. You find many instances where the parents are not Muslims, but the child is Muslim. In the West, we find this. And what greater form of da'wah? In fact, I have a close friend of mine. He's originally from the West Indies. And he entered into Islam, embraced Islam, alhamdulillah. But he used to give da'wah to his mother, explaining about Islam, looking after, she's ill. I think she's suffering from a disease. And he was looking after for years, until the day, then she said, my son, I want to become Muslim as well. Subhanallah. Another instant, we don't understand about parents compared to some people from the West who entered Islam. One story that touched my heart, wallah al-azim, there was one person, he used to be a Hindu, and he entered into Islam, and we were talking, and he said, brothers, you don't know the value of your parents. We said, I got to be in the hellfire, in Jahannam, subhanallah, and you brothers, you have Muslim parents, subhanallah, and value that the issue of parents.
Sure.
Subhanallah.
Particularly the mother.
And the mother.
The hadith of the haqq al-nas, and haqq al-nas sahabati or sahbati, who is worth, more important in terms of my company, is it your mother, ummuka, thumma ummuka, thumma ummuk.
Subhanallah.
Shows us the great emphasis Islam gives to the mothers.
Yes.
She is a woman, right?
Yes.
And for those who say that Islam puts down women, this is the answer for them.
SubhanAllah, Islam has raised the status of a woman, that she should not be treated like a piece of meat to be paraded in fashion shows. She has a dignity. Her dignity Allah has given her, not to be molested in any way, but to be given the full respect and her full rights.
Rasulullah said, "Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra." Istawsu. He commended us, he told us, take care of women, be gentle, be nice to them, towards them.
Be nice towards them. Respect our women, not to be too harsh with them, as you remember the meaning of the hadith, where the Prophet advised the men, the husbands, yani, don't be too harsh. I'm paraphrasing. Don't be too harsh with your women. Yani, don't chide them. Don't give them too much of a hard time, because there's some crookedness in her. And if you try to straighten it, it will break. Yani, the rib will break means it will end in divorce. Mm-hmm. So if you can live with that crookedness, alhamdulillah.
Also the Prophet said, وَخَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ
لِأَهْلِهِ. Subhanallah, subhanallah. The best of you is he who is best to his family. His wife, any.
Mm-hmm.
And I am the best to mine. Without doubt, the best example, Rasulullah, when Aisha, she was asked about the Prophet, his character, she replied, in the meaning of it, he was like the living character of the Quran. He was like the living Quran. Mm-hmm. His character was the Quran. And he, Rasulullah, said, in the meaning, I have not been sent except but to perfect character.
Beautiful, beautiful.
SubhanAllah. To be a best person, showing the best example. So respecting of the parents, respecting our wives, respecting our children. This is a thing I think many parents forget sometimes. That give them respect. If a child does something, reward him or her. Reward him many things. Give them a treat. Take them out somewhere. Especially if it's something to do with Islam. Because the last thing that a person should do is force Islam on somebody and they start to hate it. Allah says, La ikraha fid din. There is no compulsion in the religion. So the manner of da'wah that we give, again, has to come from our characteristics.
Sure. So no compulsion in religion. Right. Yeah. But let's conclude by sending this message to our dear listeners, particularly non-Muslims. As you see, the beauty of Islam has no end.
No end.
Has no limit. So we invite them to be objective and fair, to be honest, reading more, discovering more about Islam. Take this journey, take this, you know, road. Walk this road towards discovering the beauty of Islam yourself. Judge for yourself.
One thing I remember one of the sheikhs saying, and he said, Islam is like a piece of shining gold.
Mm-hmm.
It never dulls. But if a person had gold, he would keep it to himself. He doesn't want to share this gold with anybody. Mm-hmm. But the Muslims, their gold is Islam, and they are happy to share it with whoever wants it.
Beautiful.
We want to give the gold to the people.
MashaAllah. With these beautiful golden words, we conclude. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, Sheikh Abbas Adam. Exactly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our good deeds.
Ameen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. I would like to thank all of us, all of you, all those who are, you know, recording this program, and our dear listeners. Thanks for all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. وبركاته
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj. Radio Riyadh. Presents
Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد بن عبد الله عليه أفضل الصلاة والسلام. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to a new episode of The Beauty of Islam. In this session, inshallah, Brother Abbas Adam and I will talk about a great concept in Islam. It is taqwa. We will discover more about its meaning and discover some of its beauty and fruits. First, let me welcome Brother Abbas. Welcome, Brother Abbas.
Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Abbas, originally from UK, right?
That's right, yes.
Yes, welcome. Brother Abbas, what is the meaning of taqwa?
You know, this is a very good question, because one thing we have to understand is that in the Arabic language, you may find one word, but in any other language, it would be hard-pressed to find an exact meaning for this word.
Mm-hmm.
So what I seem to understand from this is it's more than just one word that you can translate it into. I've read interpretations of this word as meaning God-fearing, and fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not only fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time, yani adhering and sticking to the rules and laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set out. In addition to that, also staying away from all the prohibited haram actions. And also those actions which are maybe doubtful or may not benefit an individual as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, some translators translate it like, you know, piety or God consciousness.
Yes.
How about that? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a nice translation. Without doubt, the person who fears Allah, then of course the outcome of that would expect to be that he has piety within him.
Sure.
In terms of he is more aesthetic, in terms of maybe he doesn't feel so attached to the worldly things, that he thinks of the hereafter more as well. He's more conscious of the things that he does, the things that he says, what could harm others, not only himself. I mean, an ayah that springs to mind is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدْ لَهُ مِنَّا شَيْطَانُ رَجِيمُ مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَذِهِ رَقِيمٌ عَتِيدٌ. If we just give the general meaning of this ayah, that not a single utterance except that it will be recorded down. And of course, if a person wants to put taqwa into his life, I suppose one of the major things that a person could do is to take care of his tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I think, if I remember, I'll paraphrase a hadith that the Prophet said that yani, one of the most dangerous things is the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, the one who is a Muslim is the one who is safe from his tongue and from his hands.
I see. Very good. So the meaning of taqwa is comprehensive in Islam.
Without doubt, it has to be.
It has great depth and great, you know, meaning. Maybe one word or two words, as I mentioned before, piety or fear, do not actually capture the whole meaning meant in Islam or in Islamic context.
Yes.
We might, or some examples might clarify the depth of taqwa in Islam. Could you please give us some examples showing taqwa?
Of course. I think if we refer back to the early Muslims and how they were willing to embrace Islam, and after embracing Islam, that having taqwa meant really the ultimate, the fruits of this was that their iman increased. Because they knew that the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were laid out. They knew that having taqwa would mean that they would end in Jannah. And from this taqwa, you know, you hear many stories. For example, one story I remember from one of the sheikhs who was giving a lecture, mm-hmm. and he said that Abu Bakr used to put stones in his mouth just so that he wouldn't say anything wrong.
Wonderful.
To that extent. We also from some of the Sahaba, they would not speak unless there was a need to speak. So going back to the issue of the tongue, this tongue can be for us or it can be against us. It can be used to gain taqwa or it can be used to cause mischief, to cause fitna, trials for other people, or to cause rumor mongering. The thing is here, I think that how we use not only, of course, our tongue, our hands, our legs, where we take them, what we do with our eyes, whether we do an action which may help somebody or may harm somebody. Mm-hmm. All these things, again, can build up towards gaining taqwa or the opposite, and that is to take us away from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right. But we remember the example also of Abu Bakr, you know, when he ate some dates.
Yes.
And when his servant told him about the story of the dates, you remember the story? That Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, just, you know, throw that out. Just throw it. He knew that this dates is from haram.
Subhanallah.
He just put his finger inside his mouth
to make himself vomit. Yes,
just to make himself vomit and throw it out.
Look at that.
This is a high level of taqwa, piety, to be God conscious.
Subhanallah. This, I think, you're right. We really don't even have to go further than the first generation of the Muslims, because without doubt, having the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as their teacher, as their guide, you can imagine the kind of environment they were in, the feeling they had, eagerness to learn, that to that extent that, you know, somebody would put their fingers in the mouth and care so much that this was not halal. Today, today, maybe it's totally opposite, that people would eat anything and drink anything. Maybe they wouldn't really care where the money came from, so long as their stomachs were full. But subhanAllah, without doubt, with the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you had such golden examples for people to follow, to really show, you know, to what extent these people were feeling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, sure. That example.
Sure. There are many examples, actually. I remember also the story of the woman that, you know, remember that her husband left her for a couple of months and she was, you know, thinking of doing some haram.
Yes.
But she reminded her that if not failing Allah, I would do something, you know, haram, like, you know, fornication, yes, or to have sex, illegal sex, just to satisfy herself sexually. Yes. But she said, find Allah.
Yes.
And just let's remember this, that even if you are alone, if we are alone in a private room, this taqwa is like, you know, a reminder, watch out.
Yes.
Allah is watching us.
Unaware of us, what we do, yes.
So that lady, that woman, there is actually some, you know, there is some poem. It's a well-known poem. It narrates or tells that out of fear and out of taqwa, she abandoned or she left or she did not, you know, try to do something haram like zina or to have illicit sex in the time or during that period in the absence of the, you know, this period of the absence of her husband for a couple of months.
Yes.
Again, this is another example to show us this great piety, very sensitive hearts,
yes,
attached to who?
To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Attached to Allah.
To His obedience, subhanAllah.
Good. I mean, the other good thing, maybe just to make it, to mention it, is that, you know, here, they don't care about, say, the government, the police, those who watch him, a candid camera watching him.
Yes,
they are alone.
That's right. They care only that Allah subhanahu will see me, no matter if somebody else can see me or not. They don't care. But they are aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He sees them in open or secret. And this, you're right, brother, that when a person has taqwa, you know, he will not do things, inshallah, to please the people.
Mm-hmm.
He will not do it for fame or fortune, but he will do it because he fears his Lord, because he or she, of course, wants to please their Lord, gain the pleasure of their Lord, and at the same time, without doubt, not to forget that they're in hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy as well.
Okay, Brother Abbas, before we conclude, what are some of the fruits of taqwa?
The fruits of taqwa will be very evident from a person in that they will be happy no matter what happens, the final outcome. They will be happy with whatever Allah has decreed for them.
Great.
They will have satisfaction. You see the people, they may not be rich, they may not have the best jobs in the world,
mm-hmm.
yet they're satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them.
So they have the tamanina,
this relaxation,
uh-huh.
yes.
Tranquility.
Tranquility as well, yes.
Great.
They're not seeking anything extra except that they are pleased with what Allah has given them. Whatever comes other than that, you'll find they will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that.
And ultimately, inshallah, Jannah, paradise will be the reward.
This is what we ask and this is what our aim is.
We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in conclusion to grant us Jannah.
Ameen.
Thanks for you, Brother Abbas. Wow. Thanks for all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Welcome back to a new episode of The Beauty of Islam With me in the studio, our dear guest, Brother Abbas Adam from UK. Welcome, Brother Abbas.
JazakAllah
khair. May Allah reward you for your time and you know, your thoughts shared with us.
JazakAllah khair for having me here and allowing me to air my thoughts.
BarakAllah fiqh. In the last session, Brother Abbas, we talked about taqwa. We discussed the meaning, the concept of taqwa, and also we shared with our dear listeners some of the fruits of taqwa. Could you please just recap and remind us of those main things, the meaning, and you know the fruits of taqwa, please?
Yeah. If I remember correctly, we talked about taqwa being, and you could say, God-fearing, God-consciousness, having piety, whereby a person will stick to the rules and regulations that Allah set down and will refrain from the forbidden actions that Allah has made haram for the Muslims and staying away from those actions which are doubtful.
Great. This is actually one of the most beautiful things in Islam, right?
Yes, that's
right.
To have
taqwa. It is a very high and sensitive concept in Islam, dealing with the hearts,
yes,
with the iman,
that's right, yes,
with taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also talked about some of the fruits. What are some of those fruits?
We said that those people who Allah allows them to gain taqwa, they have this feeling of satisfaction, of relaxation, of contentment.
Exactly.
Yes.
Tranquility, peace of mind.
That's right.
Very good. Okay, in this session, we'd like to talk about steadfastness, al-thabat, as another beautiful thing in Islam. What is the meaning of steadfastness, or to be steadfast in Islam?
This word that from the Arabic word of thabat, when we say steadfastness, means to hold on to your religion, what Allah has given you, and not to backslide, mm-hmm. not to give it up, but rather hold on to it firmly in order to increase our iman.
Great, great, very good, good. Okay, what is the importance? What is the importance of this concept?
Today, not only today, but in general, to be steadfast with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really is a basic requirement for every sincere Muslim, for every Muslim who wants to follow Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path, and that the person wants to do it with determination mm-hmm. and with understanding. It's very, very important, mm-hmm. Especially in today's day and age.
Exactly, in the wake of the last events, you know, being so called terrorists,
extremists.
So some Muslims might give up their, religion. Some Muslims maybe hide their Muslim identity, right?
Yes, that's right, yes.
So we need this great concept,
yes,
Thabat,
yes. I mean, not only, as a result of the events in the last few years,
mm-hmm.
it has actually driven Muslims to question themselves who they really are, why are they here, the whole purpose. And as a result of the consequence is that, you know, whether the non-Muslims liked it or not, it actually helps the Muslims to become more steadfast in their religion. I mean, we're living in a time of high-tech gadgets, mm-hmm. of economic developments. Wherever you go, you know, mm-hmm. technology and advances are being pushed everywhere.
And despite sometimes being so much busy in materialistic, in a kind of this materialistic life, it keeps us a little bit
busy and away from our deen, our religion, right?
That's right. It, in fact, you'll find people so preoccupied with the world that they may forget to pray.
Exactly.
They may forget to give
in
us
the middle of work.
In the middle of work, that's right. The great importance for them becomes then their work or their project or whatever they're involved in at a particular time. Not only that, what you have is many people today, they are so preoccupied with these things. They have, for example, a lot of important decision making to make. They may have reasons, such as, for example, that they do not want to be seen as doing an action which goes against the norms of society, for example. It could be in terms of the women want to be just like the Western women, you know, as the saying goes, when in Rome, do as the Romans do.
And so some might leave hijab.
That's right, yes.
Throw it away and say, let's just follow the West or the East.
That's right. Without doubt, the family and children are also a great temptation or a great fitna, a great trial for the Muslims. And as we know, that one of the biggest trials for the Muslims, not only Muslims, but of course even non-Muslims, is the family and the children.
Yes.
Where there is a conflict of interests, of course sometimes a person may give in to that and give priority to everything else. Well, in Islam, we give priority, of course, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest right is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over His creation. Great. And then to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, of course. After that comes the rights of the creation.
Great, great. So we learn from this concept, this beautiful concept, al-thabat, or to be steadfast on the religion of Allah, that no matter what happens,
yes,
you know, no matter what, you know, faces us, we have to stick strongly to the religion of Allah. Yes. This is, sometimes it can be a trial, it can be a test for us.
That's right, and again,
no problem. Yes. So we have to pass this test, not to give up our faith or our religion or the practice of Islam because of what others say about us. This is, shows us that some weak Muslims, they have this kind of what can be called as inferiority complex, right?
Somehow that we are, the others are better than us because we are seem to be backwards or not progressing. We don't make enough money, and we're satisfied with what we've got. If you look at most of the Western societies, it's basically capitalist society where the onus is on earning as much as you can and gaining a higher status as possible. And when that occurs, of course, then we forget who our Creator is and what our real purpose in life is as well.
Good, but Abbas, don't you think that knowledge and Sharia knowledge in particular would, you know, make us more steadfast? Because the more we know about our religion, the more we understand our religion, the more we get steadfast.
Yes, without doubt. The whole principle of becoming steadfast, we could refer to a source or the key area for becoming more steadfast as being what the Prophet left us with, the Quran and the Sunnah. If I can just come back to this point about in today's day in society, one of the other trials, of course, is the trial of wealth. And I remember one brother saying that what happens in general when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a people with wealth, they seem to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless Allah has guided them. And it seems to be the poor people who are really crying out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I remember, or if I refer to one of the ayat regarding the trial of wealth, where if I remember, this is from one of the ayat in Surah Tawbah, where I'm going to paraphrase the ayah, not give you the exact meaning, but when Allah refers to some people who made a covenant with Allah, an agreement with Allah, and they said that if He, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bestowed on us some of His bounty, from His ni'mah, then they said, we will give charity, sadaqah, and we will be amongst those who are from the righteous people.
Okay, Sheikh Abbas, before we conclude this meeting, could you please give us some examples of where steadfastness is required?
In today's society, everybody is looking to gain some kind of power or some kind of authority. And if we refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His words in Surah Al-Kahf, in the meaning of what Allah says, and keep yourself patiently with those who call on their Lord morning and afternoon, seeking His face, and let not your eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp and glitter of the life of the world, and obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, one who follows his own lusts, and whose affair, meaning his deeds, have been lost. If I remember this, the context of this ayah, it was when a group of the mushrikeen came to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ because they saw him as somebody sitting with the poor people, and they thought, we should have him with us. He's a person of good lineage, and therefore, you know, it's not befitting for a person of high lineage to be sitting with no. But he ﷺ showed us that the Islam does not make a distinction between the rich and the poor, the one of high lineage and the one of low lineage. Rather, he did not want, he was not seeking any kind of power or authority amongst the Quraysh. Had it been that, of course, when the Prophet first declared himself to be the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger, and they said to him, we'll give you anything you want, we'll make you the leader, and he refused.
Great, great. Inshallah, we'll get more information about this concept in another episode. Actually, time is over. I'm sorry, Brother Abbas. So we'll stop here, inshallah. We'll continue in another episode, God willing. Thanks, Sheikh Abbas. May Allah reward you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.